listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 41 of Patty Pigskin. As always, I'm your host, Gary Somerville, in association with DraftKings. I have Barry on with me this time. We are going over our AFC 2018 preview. Four divisions, 16 teams. Going to try and get through each division in 8 minutes, so we're going to rattle through the teams. We're going to go over their 2017 record, their odds with the Vegas bookmakers for 2018, their key additions and losses to their roster as the roster could start to happen now, and just our general thoughts really on how they're going to do for the upcoming season. So Barry's here with me, AFC preview show. Let's get after it. Showing some fullback love for episode 41, which is dedicated to Lorenzo Neal. He was born in Baja, California. It's a bit of a weird name. Sounds like Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons. In 1970, played his high school football as well as wrestling at Lemoore High School in California. He attended Fresno State and played at tailback for the Bulldogs from 1989 to 1992. Also wrestled there in the 275-pound weight class. And interestingly enough, defeated a sumo wrestler in an exhibition game in Japan during his time in college. The Saints drafted him 89th overall in the 1993 draft, and he switched to fullback after a season-ending ankle injury as a rookie. After New Orleans, he bounced around several teams, including the Titans, the Chargers, the Bengals, and Ravens, amongst others. In his 16-year career, he went to 4 Pro Bowls with 2 first-team All-Pro nods. He's named in the NFL 2000s All-Decade Team. Stats-wise, finished with 807 rush yards, 1,086 reception yards, 18 total touchdowns, and a shitload of pancake blocks. So, episode 41, fullback love, Lorenzo O'Neill, that's his Irish cousin. Lorenzo O'Neill, this episode is for you. So let's get cracking with this week's episode of Patty Pigskin. I might pull up with 3K, but I do not fuck with no claim. Gang, gang, them boys not flexing the same. I'm done with adjusting the fame. Pull up on your set, leave a stain. Gang, gang, I tell them come fuck with the gang. I tell them don't fuck with the gang. It's time to fuck up the whole gang. Come fuck with the mob, shout out to the lords and the gods. In love with my bitch cause she vibe. My eyes like the stars, I tell that bitch cover your eyes. Cause fucking with me, you go blind. She losing her mind, we kiss the Frank Ocean and blind. Convincing my bitch to go blonde. Was born in the dark, I give you, you open my blinds. On yams and that's worth of my mom. Modular mammon with cases, I'm still trying to beat. A bunch of shit from a long time ago. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Like dominoes, nigga Geronimo's. When it's my time to go, adios, vominos. Like a no Dominicano, but eat the toast. On that swift latinos, dealing with life in its highs and lows. I'm just pimping like I'm supposed. I guess it's called living shit, I suppose. I'm on my live alone, dive alone. Ain't talking about spending no buying clothes. I'm about my business, but I'm alone. I still had the vision when I was broke. So I have Barry here with me. How are you, man?
Doing well. Heat wave's finally over. You guys were complaining about in the last episode about how it was like 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. And it's finally back down to like a 75 Fahrenheit. So sorry to switch it up from Celsius to Fahrenheit each time.
Having said that, though, the listeners can't see, but you are wearing a Shred Zeppelin wife beer.
Sun's out, guns out. Just gotta enjoy the weather while it's there.
I might have to find a picture of it and like upload it when this episode drops because it's brilliant. We are going to go through our AFC 2018 preview. We already did the NFC, myself and Jer.
I think you guys gave too much credit to the Bucks, gotta say. I listen to that. 6 wins? Oh, that'd be a great year right now.
You'd take that in a heartbeat, would you? So we'll go through each of the 4 divisions. We said last time we would set the timer to about 8 minutes. I think we pretty much stuck to it. I think we're around 31, 32 minutes in total. So I'm going to set the timer again. 8 minutes. We're going to start with the AFC East. Let me get that timer ready. Okay, timer's on. So it's been a formality for pretty much more than a decade. It's always the Patriots.
I know.
And we'll start with them, our local team here, 13-3 in 2017. Huge favourites in Vegas, -714. Key additions, they got Danny Shelton from the Browns, Cordell Patterson from the Vikings, who actually looks quite bigger in person.
Raiders.
Yeah, he had that one stop at the Raiders, yeah. Trent Brown, offensive tackle from the 49ers. Key losses, Brandon Cook's gone to the Rams to get paid. Nate Solder to my Giants.
Everybody to get paid.
Malcolm Butler to Tennessee. So lots of off-season turmoil. They had the Gronk trade rumors. They had the Edelman-Ped suspension.
They had the Brady threatening to retire rumors. They had a lot of stuff.
lost Matt Patricia, the Butler drama, and now a different crop of wide receivers again for Tom Brady. So what do you think of their outlook for this year?
Look, as much as we want to keep talking about it, until Tom Brady gets taken down by some illegal low hit or just Father Time eventually catches up, which, you know, we've been waiting for it.
And it's still not happening.
They're going to win the division.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, and everyone's going to see this year, especially in the first, like, 5-6 games. With this new helmet rule, there's going to be a lot of weird plays on defense where guys are a half step slow.
Yep.
And you're going to see it consistently with the Patriots, who throw over the middle more than almost anyone. And the idea that these guys, when you're throwing over the middle to, you know, it's not Edelman right now, but it's like Chris Hogan, it's the equivalents. And when you're doing that, if you're a safety, you used to run in there and want to hit them immediately.
You have to
wait a half step now. And I think Brady's just going to get up to a fire start the season.
And it's good you mentioned that, because last night, Bill was actually giving out about a flag against the Giants for leading with the head. And it was like, he led with the shoulder and the head just happened to be in the way, you know. Yep. And he was giving out, he's like, because he knows further down the line, that penalty is going to be called against his team, you know.
No, exactly. No one knows how to officiate this right now.
I know.
I think again, it's the Patriots. They're going to be fine. They always find a way. They're going to do fine. Do you think they over under 11 from Vegas wins? What do you think?
Over.
Yeah, I think so too.
Buffalo Bills 9-7 last year.
It's not going to be that high this year.
They are joint last with the Dolphins in the odds, at least, to take the AFC East. They are +1,200 in Vegas. Additions, Star Lotulelei came over from Carolina. They got Vontae Davis, cornerback from Indy. Chris Ivory from the Jets, running back, and they drafted their rookie quarterback, Josh Allen. The key losses, Tyrod Taylor is now at the Browns, as we saw. Eric Woods, their really tenured center, has retired. Richie Cognito, who fucking knows what's going on with that guy? He's
and then they traded Cordy Glenn, so it's Cordy like Glenn. Half their line is
a lot of their O-line. Difficult really to see them repeating their magic, well, end of season magic from 2017.
So they have a lot of things going against them right now. So you have the inexperienced rookie quarterback who we're all worried about how long does it take him to adjust the NFL. You have half of his line gone.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just a big issue.
Huge.
And then all of a sudden you're saying, oh yeah, he's going to be fine. He'll land on his feet and he'll do just fine this year. I don't really buy it. I think, again, this is not an indignation of is Josh Allen the answer of the future or anything like that, but it's just, it's hard to see Buffalo really doing much this year, and it would be one of those teams where you're kind of shocked if they won more than like 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, and he hasn't he has Kelvin Benjamin there, but he hasn't really like got any studs that stand out. Like, fair enough, he had a few good years at Carolina, but you look at the wide receiver card, it doesn't go like wow. It's just like kind of meh, you know?
Well, I mean, you have that. You have the entire thing with LeSean McCoy right now. Is he going to be playing the season or not? If that happens, all of a sudden you have no running back, barely any receivers, no line, and it all falls on Josh Allen, who has a great arm. But, like, are we really going to say, like, that's going to make up for everything else? He's not Aaron Rodgers here. So, like,
They have a lot of salary cap room, actually, in 2019.
No, so they're going to start. It's a play for future years. Absolutely, I don't think anyone there on that team is seriously saying this is the year they're going to win the Super Bowl or something.
Absolutely. Miami Dolphins, 6-10 last year. They are also +1,200 with the Vegas bookmakers. We actually have quite a few Dolphin fans that listen to the show. So, additions, they got Robert Quinn, DN from the Rams. They got Danny Amendola, who is not very good, according to Jalen Ramsey. From the Pats, they got Josh Sitton, the guard from the Bears. Losses, Ndamukong Suh went the other way. He's with the Rams. Jarvis Landry, as we know. Bless him, is with the Browns. Mike Pouncey, center, he's gone to the Chargers. So I don't really think, in my eyes, I can't see them going over 500.
I think for them and the Bills, it's a very awkward race to last place. And I think both those teams are in year 5-6. And like maybe the Dolphins get 7, but it's not going to be a winning record kind of year.
Mm-hmm.
They are not comfortable with this whole is Tannehill our quarterback or not situation. And I think out of a pure formality, they feel like they have to give him this year to try things out.
So you reckon they move on from him in 2019? Well, providing he doesn't have like a monster year.
Exactly. I mean, he has no cap penalty to cut after this season. And it makes sense in the sense that if you do badly, you're going to have a high draft pick. And who typically is high? Quarterbacks.
And one guy people should watch out for is their rookie tight end, Mike Gesicki from Penn State.
Super fast.
Fucking stood at the combine. Yep. Definitely for fantasy folks, if they haven't drafted already, definitely worth the consideration as like a late sleeper as your backup early waiver wire target.
It's hard though, just because Adam Gase's offense doesn't use the tight end as much as you wish it would.
True.
For like what that real weapon is. Because right now you're looking at that team and they have Kenny Stills, who's a deep threat who isn't really a deep threat anymore. Devontae Parker, who by all accounts is still struggling to catch because of hand injuries.
Yep.
Which, you know, as former receivers ourselves, absolutely, is a bit of an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're saying, oh yeah, we have Danny good-looking Amendola. And it's like, I know he's great, he's dependable, he can do a lot, but he's not going to be 150 yards a game kind of guy who will balance an offense.
He's at his best in the playoffs, but yeah. Does he even get to the playoffs in Miami for him to shine?
The good thing is that they realize the culture issue they had from a year ago, and they're starting that rebuild now.
Yeah.
They're kind of in that awkward in-between year, but at least they've identified it.
So not much optimism for the Dolphins.
Don't think so.
Finally, New York Jets. They are the second favorites in the AFC East with the Vegas bookies. They went 5-11 last year. They are plus 1,000. Rough few years for the Jets since the Mark Sanchez era. Additions, got to talk about their rookie QB, Sam Darnold. You called it. You said he was going to be more than likely the only starter out of all the rookie QBs, right? Yeah, and it looks like that's going
to
be...
He looks the most ready right now. And again, like what that translates to down the road, who knows?
Yep.
But like, if you're a Jets fan, like you got to be pumped right now.
Absolutely,
like, at the end
of
the day, like building a team is about nailing that QB spot and getting everything else around it. And I don't know what this season looks like for the Jets. They have a lot of pieces to a point where it could make sense. But if you're the Jets right now, you could not be happier than Sam Darnold being mentored by Josh McCown, which is just the best combo you can imagine, as far as there's no pressure of he's going to try to take your job, but purely on the I want to make you a better player too.
Yeah, and obviously they traded Teddy to the Saints, so other additions.
Which also just good move by them. Like, if we're being honest, like it gets you a draft pick, but it's also just right up to Teddy.
Yeah,
to
it was good.
Hey,
good business.
Exactly.
Yeah, they flipped it and they did well out of it. They also got Tremaine Johnson, DB from the Rams, Isaiah Crowell, running back from the Browns. Key losses: Muhammad Wilkerson, their D-end, has gone to the Packers. Matt Forte, who has retired. Demario Davis, also gone to the Saints with Teddy. They haven't been to the postseason since 2010. I personally can't see it happening this year for them.
Yeah.
It's going to take a year or two.
It's going to be the same as almost every year. Last year was an aberration where we had two AFC East teams make the playoffs. I don't think it's happening again this year. I think the Jets do actually finish second in the division. So I know you and Jared kind of talked about this.
Yep.
To me, it's Pats, Jets, Dolphins, Bills.
That's exactly what I have. Yeah. And just on a finisher there, the Jets are... Oh, there's our timer. Bang on cue. The Jets are projected to have over or close to $100 million in cap room in 2019.
I hear you can buy some nice receivers for a young second-year quarterback with that.
So another team that's looking to splash out in free agency. We'll move on to... Who we got? We'll just go with the AFC North. We'll change it up a little bit.
Let's do it.
So, I call this a smelly division. I just don't like it. I just don't like the AFC North. You got the...
See, that's how I feel about the AFC West.
So, the Steelers are the heavy favorites in Vegas at -303. They went... There's a lot of trees here. They went 13-3 last year. Key additions, Morgan Burnett at safety from the Packers. Linebacker John Bostic from the Bears. And they drafted a rookie wide receiver, James Washington.
Whoever it is in the Steelers who just views 4th to 6th round receivers and says that
needs a raise.
Guy. Like, he needs to just be like every team needs to make a bid, just get him in the front office. Because that guy has just nailed it again.
He does well. Losses, obviously Ryan Shazier, who's we all know his injury there. Martavius Bryant has gone to the Raiders. Safety Mike Mitchell, he's still on the free agency market. So this for me...
Would you really call that a loss, though, when you get to put in Morgan Burnett instead?
Yeah, true. I think it's bowl or bust for the Steelers. It looks like Ben's window is starting to narrow, I feel.
And it's just every single year. Like, so Jer sent us this stat about like how there's only been 7 times in Super Bowl history that a team has made the playoffs 5 straight times and not made it to the Super Bowl.
Very good stat,
which is a phenomenal stat by Jer, but it's just... It speaks to the idea of this should happen, but at the end of the day, it's Mike Tomlin is the reason why it probably won't. Is that I think, and I have a few Steelers fans who live here, which, you know, living in Boston with the Patriots for a Steelers fan is pretty annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot of them actually in Boston, I have to say.
And the just annoyance you hear from them day on day, game after game, of just why is Tomlin our coach? Of just not looking ready for the part, not being mentally prepared for the things that should happen. And just despite, I think this is one of the top two or three most talented teams in football, as far as like pure talent on the roster.
Yeah.
And they do not live up to it. Last year, 13-3 was a surprisingly, they really actually put it all together kind of year. And then they still got, but then they let up 42 points to absurd Blake Bortles in the playoffs. Big Ben had the most points against the Jags of any team that year.
I think
they lost because Bortles outscored him.
They were looking past the Jags, and it cost them in the end.
No, I'm saying that reflects on the head coach. So after a certain point, if you can't make it, you got to just move on, whether it's the QB and it's his time or it's Tomlin and it's time.
Baltimore Ravens, 9-7 last year. Obviously drafted a quarterback, which Flacco didn't seem to be happy about. Yeah. They are plus 450 with Vegas. Key additions, Michael Crabtree has come over from the Raiders, wide receiver.
That's all receivers, right? It's like John Brown, him.
Yeah, a lot of receivers. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, rookie. Tight end, Hayden Hurst, who we like. He's going to be out now for a little bit. Key losses, Jeremy Maclin. He's still a free agent. Ladarius Webb, cornerback. He's a free agent
and
also.
Ben Watson to the Saints, right?
Benjamin Watson to the Saints. So this is Ozzie Newsome's last year as GM before he hands over the reins. It looks like, to me, he's put together a decent roster. I think they're a little bit better at wide receiver this year. And they need to give Flacco those weapons. Otherwise, if he struggles early on, I can just see them giving the keys to the car to Lamar, Action Jackson. What do you think?
I think this season can go really badly and you still won't give it to Lamar. I don't think you would give it to him until there's four games left and that would just be like the season's kind of over.
Yeah.
I think they're really keen on the idea that he is their future, but that he really needs
to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he came over from the system at Louisville and it was all him. And
exactly.
On the ground or through the air, it was all him. And now this is a completely different system for him. So totally understandable if they give him that full year to learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, decent quarterback. He's won the Super Bowl, Flacco.
Yeah, no,
not the worst quarterback to be learning behind.
No, 100%. And again, it's the question of how much does he want to teach there. Like,
yeah.
I think they're a team that could randomly sneak in, but more likely than not, they're probably like a 7-9, 8-8 team.
So maybe on the bubble, just not quite enough.
Exactly.
Cleveland Browns, they are still the underdogs in the division, plus 1,100. Obviously, 0-16 last year. We've seen plenty of them on HBO's Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Been very enjoyable. Key additions, we've got to talk about the number one pick, Baker Mayfield, firstly. Wide receiver, Jarvis Landry. They also got Carlos Hyde. We haven't really seen much of Hyde in Hard Knocks. I don't know if he said, I just don't want to be like featured in it.
Or maybe he's just super boring.
Who knows? Could be.
He's been killing it in preseason.
Yeah, you just don't hear or see much of him in HBO's Hard Knocks. Key losses, just when they're starting to look good, Joe Thomas decides, nah, I'm going to retire, do his own podcast.
It really just encapsulates the legacy, though. I don't think he could ever be part of a good team. It would be like too weird.
Yeah, it would. Danny Shelton, Noah Sackle, he's here now in Boston with the Pats. Isaiah Crowell, you mentioned, he's with the Jets now. So obviously anything is better than 0-16. You know, you can't get any worse than that. They've won one game in their last two seasons. Do you reckon this is Hugh Jackson's last year to start getting things right under John Dorsey?
Oh, for sure. I thought you were going to ask, is this Hugh Jackson's last year? Like, period.
Pretty much that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is, unfortunately. I think, so the Vegas over-under has been raised by a whole 1.5. Thanks to Hard Knocks. It went from 4 before Hard Knocks started to 5.5 now.
Okay. We've been born now last year.
I mean, the last four years, every team has regressed.
Yeah.
And luckily, they can't regress anymore because they're already 0-16. But it does make me worry in the sense, like, I think we're going to see this team come up short a frustrating amount of time this year. And I think that is what will be the death knell for Hugh Jackson, is that I think you got to a point where this team is actually probably good enough to start winning games.
Yeah.
And like not just one or two, but like potentially 4, 5, 6 like in that range. But I think you're going to see it where it's close games and they have bad clock management. Some play didn't make sense. What was the defense doing there? And those things eventually add up to you need a new coach.
Sure, yeah. And like they're loaded with first and second rounders all over the field. Like you just look at the level of talent. But like you said, can the coach get the most out of the talent he has? And last year they were last in the league in takeaways. So I think they need that defense to really start stepping up. And
do you think Baker's the answer going forward?
I'm starting to warm up to him, I have to say. I thought he was an absolute cunt, but now I think he's actually, like, I'm starting to see, you know, leadership characteristics in him. And I think he is maturing somewhat. You know, some questionable things, like showing up late and stuff like that, they alluded to in Hard Knocks. But he's starting to grow on me, I have to say.
Yeah,
I'll give him a bit more time to impress.
That's fair. If you want to get a laugh, anyone who's listening to, Look up Baker Mayfield dresses John Dorsey.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
It's amazing.
It was really good. Really enjoyed that with the what's his John Dorsey says? He's like buddy boy as well.
Yeah,
he calls everybody.
Buddy boy. Yeah.
It was really, really good. We'll finish up with the Bengals. They are +900 with Vegas, 7-9 last year. They just, like, in the last two or three days, forked out some massive extensions for their D-line. Yeah. Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. Additions, they got Cordy Glenn from the Bills, Bobby Hart from the Giants. They got their one of their draft picks, Sam Hubbard, who slid down the draft board.
Yep, from Ohio State.
From Ohio State. Losses, Jeremy Hills now with the Pats. It looks like he's going to make the roster there at the expense of Mike Gillisley. Russell Bodine, the center, and they lost AJ McCarron, who the Bills have also lost now for. Is he out for the year? Or
it's the first like 2 weeks.
Okay,
saying.
First few weeks.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of strange to bring back Marvin Lewis again. Like, they're 0-7 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Another losing season. What the hell is going on there?
It feels like you got pushed at the time, and you were like, "What do we do?" And you just said pass. You know, like, do we blow it up? Do we go for it? And you just said pass. You brought back everyone. You re-signed everyone. You have the exact same team. You're saying, this is the year we're going to stay healthy. But I don't know. I just feel like at the end of the day, like, it's just still going to be a weird, like, 8-8, 9-7 season. Because that's just what you get with an average league quarterback, typically, unless you're getting a ton of help.
And
they have a lot of receivers who can do a lot of good stuff. But, you know, can they stay healthy is, like, the big question.
And their O-line has been basically dismantled and rebuilt again now.
Well, yeah,
so
I mean, they were trading. They just got Cordy Glenn from the Bills for that exact reason.
Yeah. So I think the success or shortcomings of the offense there will fall on whether that new kind of O-line can give Andy Dalton the protection and let him get that ball to his receivers. That will do it for the first half, which was the AFC East and AFC North.
Who you got for your order?
Oh, yeah, rankings. I have Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals.
I actually have the exact same.
Really, order. Or two for two. Yeah, I just think the Browns are in that kind of 5-6 win region.
That's my feel-good pick of the year, if I'm being honest. I just want the Browns to not be in last place in the division. It would be great. The big bet I have for the year, like, that I've made with some people back home, is who will have more wins, the Browns or the Bucks?
Oh, Jesus.
I really think it's the Browns.
Could be, yeah. I know. I have to agree with you there. We'll have a quick break and then we'll go on to the other two divisions. So before we get into the other two divisions, I'm absolutely delighted to announce that we are partnering with DraftKings again for 2018. So DraftKings are the leader in one-week fantasy sports. I think last year we had almost 55 people in the Paddy Pigskin podcast league. So fantastic success. Lots of people won different amounts of money throughout the season. We all had an absolute blast trash talking the whole way through. Really good time. If you don't know how it works, it's similar to fantasy, normal fantasy rather, only you get 50 grand to spend on your roster. So you have a different roster every week, so you're not kind of stuck with injuries that have your players going down throughout the year. You have to get on the waiver wire. Every week we do a contest and you can pick a completely new team. So to introduce it to DraftKings for the 2018 season, we have a Thursday night showdown for the first game of the year, which is the Atlanta Falcons against the defending champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. So DraftKings, they're hosting the fantasy football contest. It's normally $10 to enter, and it actually has a $1 million. Now, $1 million, that's a 1 in 6 euros. Top prize. But for a limited time only, if you sign up with our promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, DraftKings will give you a free entry. So normally it's $10. This time when you sign up with Paddy, it's completely free. You have a chance at winning $1 million. How does a single game showdown work, you may ask yourself? All you have to do is draft 6 players from Thursday's game. Obviously, stay under the salary cap of 50 Gs. And basically see how your team stacks up against the competition. You can put your football knowledge to work and you could win $1 million while watching the opening game of the 2018 season. I did say the prize is $1 million. If you don't have to come first as a winner, there are $2.5 million in total prizes, which there's actually going to be thousands of winners. But whoever finishes top of the pile will win $1 million. So download the app or go to DraftKings.com now. Use our promo code Paddy to sign up and make your first deposit. When you do, DraftKings will give you that free shot. Like I said, normally $10. It's free this time. Give you your free shot at $1 million. That's promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, at DraftKings. All right, we'll move on to the AFC South. So the Jags were surprise winners for most in 2017. They went almost all the way to the Super Bowl. They were 10-6 last year. Joint favorites on Oddshark. That's where I'm getting these Vegas odds.
Yep.
With the Texans, actually. +175. Key additions, Andrew Norwell, guard from Carolina, prized free agent. DJ Hayden, cornerback from Oakland. And Austin Safardi and Jenkins, tight end, came over.
It's like the five tight ends in the roster.
Yeah. Losses, they lost their wide receiver pairing of Allen Robinson and Allen Horns. They also lost Marquise Lee now for the year. And Paul, how do you pronounce it? Posluszny?
Yep.
He's retired now, isn't he? Or is he free agent?
I think he retired,
didn't he? So they're returning.
He's been like 11 years, so.
With the exception of Lee now, they're returning almost all their starters from 2017 on both sides of the ball. So like the Steelers, it's got to be Super Bowl or bust for the Jags under Coughlin, hasn't it?
Not really, in the sense that, like, so yes, the expectation is, but I'm saying that the idea that, like, you can, I think you can swap this team out in a year, keep a lot of the defense, and literally, like, find a quarterback instead of Bortles, and it would still make sense.
Yeah.
So I think, like, they're in a very privileged position where they're competing, but they clearly still have a future when this looks like it can go.
Mm. And they're loaded on defense. Like, you just look at that defense. It's crazy.
And they just took another D tackle in the draft, Taven Bryan, because they're just like, oh, why not?
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, exactly. So you stick him in there now with the rest of them.
You have your franchise running back already. You paid for a line. You have just interchangeable parts of receiver, which you say makes sense. Keelan Cole, for like Christ's sake, put up great numbers last year. And he was an undrafted guy who came out. And, you know, I think you beg the question there of just, like, how far can they go? I think they benefited last year that everyone in their division sucked besides the Titans. I think that there's going to be some regression this year. I think they should be good, but I think they're going to be a surprising, like, 9-7.
Okay. Interesting take there. The Houston Texans, like I said, also +175 in Vegas. Disappointing 4-12 last year, pretty much because their rookie phenom, Deshaun Watson, who was amazing to watch when he came in.
Oh, yeah.
That great game against the Patriots, he went down with an ACL. Key additions, the Honey Badger came over, safety from Arizona. They got Zach Fulton, guard from the Chiefs. They also got cornerback Aaron Colvin from the Jags. Key losses, not too many actually. Brian Cushing, he's retired now.
Yep.
Jeff Allen, offensive tackle. And if Watson can come back after that ACL injury, like, the offense should be much better. If Fuller as well can stay healthy, like, that's a really good tandem, because when Fuller and Watson were on this field at the same time, I remember had them in my DraftKings lineup a few weeks in a row, and they put up monster numbers.
Yeah.
But he has to be healthy, or, you know, the Texans, I think, are going.
None of it matters if he's not healthy. But the big question you have to ask is, does their defense finally look good again?
Yeah.
And I know some of it's like, oh, we lost J.J. Watt and different parts like that, but that defense was brittle last year in the sense that they let up a ton of points. So even when Deshaun's putting up 35, they lost to the Chiefs. I think they scored like 35 points against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs just scored 42. And the same thing happened to the Seahawks. And, you know, at some point there, it's great that Deshaun can put up so many points. There's going to be some natural regression in the sense that people have more tape. They're going to plan an entire offseason for that, things like that. But I think he's still going to be really good. Like, I've drafted him in a lot of my leagues because I still think he's going to be very good. The big question you have to ask is, can they have a good enough defense where Deshaun doesn't need to score 35? It can be 21 in a game, and
still,
and that's
win.
Enough.
Yeah. And Clowney's coming off a career year now. So if you got Clowney and Watt at full tilt,
it should be really good.
Tyron on the back end.
I think they can be really good this year. But again, it all just depends.
Yep. Tennessee Titans, another vanquished opponent of the Pats on their Super Bowl run. They went 9-7 last year, +400 odds. Key additions, Malcolm Butler came from the Pats. Deion Lewis came from the Pats. They got their rookie linebacker, Rashaan Evans. And key losses, DeMarco Murray, he's retired now. They lost their nose tackle, Sylvester Williams. And they lost their defensive coordinator as well, Dick LeBeau. So they have their new head coach from the Belichick coaching tree, Mike Vrabel, which kind of been like a meteoric rise from like linebackers coach DC. I'm looking forward to see how he does there. They also have a new OC with Matt LaFleur came over.
That's the part that I'm excited for right there. Is that if there's ever going to be someone who can get Marcus out of the shell and say, like, here's how we're going to leverage a lot of that athletic talent, it's that.
And a nice running back tandem there with Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry.
I mean,
kind of that smash and dash of old.
Running back talent. Like, you have Corey Davis. I mean, wide receiver talent. You have Corey Davis there. You have a lot of guys. You have Taywan Taylor. You have Taji Sharp. You have a lot of guys who he's just been using. And there's, like, six or seven options of who you can be passing it to all the time. And they're rotating all. And old man Delaney Walker still doing it.
Drafted him in one or two leagues. I think he's, like, a fifth or sixth ranked tight end.
The thing that people can't overlook is that the Titans' offensive line is amazing.
Very good. Yeah.
Just super
Tyler Lewan, absolute animal of a man.
Ben Jones is the center. Like, they're just really solid all around.
And on their defense, you look at their secondary, like, they have Butler there now. Adoree Jackson is starting to come on. Their safety, Pro Bowl safety, Kevin Bayard.
Yep.
Like, stacked on the back end as well.
Okay. A lot of talent. If there's ever a year for them to really make that rise up and go from just interesting team to real contender, it should be this year.
Yep. Agree. Indianapolis Colts. Like the Texans, they had quarterback trouble. Went 4-12 in 2017. They are plus 400. Key additions, they got Matt Slauson, guard from the Chargers. Eric Ebron, big bust in 2014. He came over from the Lions. Quentin Nelson, their rookie guard, stood out of Notre Dame. Losses, Frank Gore went to Miami. Dante Moncrief, wide receiver, went to the Jags. And Jonathan Hankins, interestingly enough, pretty good D-tackle. He's still a free agent. So the Colts are in rebuild mode. I think that's kind of evident.
It is, but it's like the classic, like, if you're trying to rebuild, then why is Luck playing?
Yeah, true. And I love following Captain Luck's Twitter account, by the way.
It's amazing.
And he talks about his sidearm, which is...
I know, I fired my sidearm and it proved sturdy.
Dear mother, fucking hilarious Twitter account. So
amazing.
For anybody that's into Twitter, you got to follow Captain Andrew Luck. It's absolutely fantastic.
The hard part to marry about this team, though, is that, like, we think they're rebuilding in every regard, says they should be. But every year that Andrew Luck has started, they've won 11 games.
Yeah.
Regardless of how shit the team has been around him.
Yeah. And they've improved their O-line, so you would like to think that he's going to get the protection. Their defense has been horrendous over the last few years.
Well,
they need to get some production there.
And this is, like, kind of, so I know we need to talk about, like, the places for a second, but this is going to lead me to, like, what is my really crazy take.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think Jacksonville makes the playoffs.
Wow.
Purely.
I have them going deep.
No, I mean.
So this is a complete flip.
And it makes complete sense. But, like I'm saying, it's just the idea that, like, you have all this happening, and then all of a sudden it's like Jacksonville doesn't, like, five of their wins last year came against the division.
Yeah.
And when that's half of your season total out of six games, that matters.
Fair point, yeah.
And I don't see a single easy team on that schedule for them. Do you? Like, playing Deshaun Watson and the Texans doesn't become easy. Playing Andrew Luck and the Colts doesn't become necessarily easy. It's harder than it was last year. And, like, you still, they actually kind of suck against the Titans. Just if you look at most of their matchups, they do not play well against the Titans. Bortles does not get it moving, and they lose a lot of low-scoring games.
This is a tough one, I'm going to say this. I found this one tricky to rank my teams, but I have the Jags, the Texans, the Titans, and the Colts. So I'd imagine yours is completely different,
is
it?
So mine is, and I really, this is like the, like, you know, just throwing it all out there, but I think it's Titans, Texans, Jags, Colts.
Okay.
So I basically am
swapping
year one and
Jags
three.
And Titans. Okay.
But again, I think it's Titans and Texans make playoffs. Jags don't.
All right. That was a tough one. I found that quite tough to make my picks in the rankings there.
This one's
tricky.
Besides one team,
I
think the other three can just go anywhere.
This is exactly what I had. I had just tricky in brackets right beside it. AFC West.
I'm interested to see if we have the same team that we think is bad, though.
Okay. The LA Chargers, marginal favorites in Vegas. They were 9-7 last year. They're plus 180 for 2018.
And they've lost like half their secondary to ACLs already.
Yeah. Key additions. I'll cover some of those injuries now and the losses. Let me reset the timer. We actually stayed under 8 minutes there.
I'm so proud of us.
We had 20 seconds to spare. The alarm didn't go off. Key additions, Mike Pouncey's come over from the Dolphins. They've had tight end troubles. So they got Virgil Green, Derwin James.
Yep.
Rookie safety.
I'm still bitter about that one.
Losses. Antonio Gates is still a free agent. Who knows? He might get a call. Jason Vera, cornerback, gone down for the year. Hunter Henry, a couple of months ago, he went down with ACL injury as well. The injury bug looks like it's hit the Chargers. They get very, very unlucky with injuries, don't they?
It happens every year.
It's
every
crazy.
Single year, they lose at least five guys to ACL tears, and it's crazy.
And Rivers, he doesn't really show any signs of slowing down, but they have got a tough stretch of games in the middle of the year. They have 5 out of 6 are on the road and they've got a trip to London. So I think, you know, the success or failure of their season might come down to how did they perform on the road in that stretch.
Yeah.
Because it could completely blow up their season and any momentum they have. What do you think?
I think they're really built for success, but I think it really, you know, the hard part for them is it requires staying healthy.
Yep.
So you have a problem. Keenan Allen has finished one of the last 4 years and played a full season.
What was it last year? He had a lacerated spleen or something, wasn't it? Or 2 years ago.
Last year, he finally played the full year. No, he played the full year.
Did he?
That's how crazy this is. You think he got injured.
Yeah.
Because he always does. So you have to have Keenan Allen stay healthy, which has happened a quarter of the time.
Yeah.
You need Melvin Gordon to have perfect health, which he's actually been pretty good about that. You need Bosa, who's already having foot issues, to like not have those anymore. You need your secondary to stay as healthy as possible because you don't have a whole lot of corners to spare.
Yep.
And then that line, you just need it to stay sturdy. And the problem is, like, if all those things happen, they're a very good team. They control the pace of the game very, very well. They can mix passing, running. They can do a lot of things very, very well. And their defense creates a ton of pressure.
Mm.
But it's just the biggest question is, do you think they stay healthy or not?
Yeah. And, like, if history is to repeat itself, the chances are they won't.
Exactly.
Fingers crossed, because one of our big listeners, Paul Grogan, avid Chargers fan, and I think he's going to start blocking me on social media because I'm the one that tags him in all the injury news. I think he's going to unfollow me now at this stage.
You know, they really say the quality of your friends is just how you interact with them.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the underdogs of the AFC West, according to Vegas. Even though they were 10-6 last year, they're +300. Quite busy in free agency. They brought in Sammy Watkins, gave him a fucking monster 3-year, $48 million deal.
Yep.
Completely overpaid him, in my eyes. They got Kendall Fuller, cornerback from Washington. Anthony Hitchens has come over to the linebacker core from the Cowboys. Loss is the big one, or the obvious one, being Alex Smith,
yep,
is now with the Redskins. Marcus Peters has gone to that loaded defense in LA with the Rams. Derek Johnson, linebackers with the Raiders. So they're relying now on second-year quarterback Pat Mahomes and his monster arm that he showed off against the Falcons, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where he threw it up to Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah. Now, guy's got a cannon of an arm, but it's just like, there's two things that concern me about this team. One is Mahomes just does not look consistent right now. And, like, you could see it in the Bears game when they played. It was their third preseason game. The Bears played their backups. And Mahomes, when the starters play against the backups.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, let's destroy them. First drive, he just drives it down the field. No problem at all. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is what he should be doing. It's second string. Next three possessions, no points. And you're like, what is going on right now? The second thing that concerns me, which also happened in that Bears game, is that pass defense is horrendous. No, they played their starters against the Bears' backup offense.
Worrying.
And in weeks 1, 2, and 3 of the preseason, a backup quarterback threw a touchdown on their starting defense. And I know that, again, quarterbacks are good. They can all do these things. But that's a bad sign when you went from a swarming great defense. And I know Eric Berry comes back, and I know how
only
much...
Only so much he can do.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he covers things, but there's only so much he can.
Yeah.
And it just feels to me like this is a, let's get Mahomes used to this. That's why we're going to sign Sammy Watkins for a big deal right now, because our cap allows it.
Yeah.
Like, have all these guys here and really shoot for next year, more so than what we think is going to be like this huge year for this year.
Mm.
I think they're going to go like 7-9.
Okay. Next up, we can shit on Steve O'Rourke's Raiders, who went 6-10 in 2017. They are actually second favorites at +275.
I don't understand how they're the second favorite team.
That was a bit interesting. It's their second last year in Oakland before they move out to the desert. They got Chucky back now, so that brings some optimism to Raider Nation.
Should it though? He's a horrible coach, and maybe I come from like the scorned child of when he really fucked up.
Did I say it should bring optimism, or it is bringing optimism?
I thought you were saying
it
is.
Okay, I may have said is. I should have said it should bring optimism.
Yeah.
But as you know, our Raider fans will attest to, that optimism is starting to wane already. The season hasn't even started.
Well, and the whole point is, you have to be wondering as a Raiders fan, what in the world are we doing with Khalil Mack right now?
Yeah.
It's like, that defense is horrible. And if you're going to tell me you want to take out one of the top three pass rushers in all of football and say, we don't need this guy right now?
Yeah.
Either you're clearly saying, hey, this is a, like, let's hold on to Derek Carr and whatever other pieces make sense for next year and just see how it goes. But, like, you're signing Doug Martin, who's suspended, to be your backup running back.
Very questionable management.
I don't understand what you're doing with any of these things right now. Jordy Nelson, 5 years too late, is not going to be the answer that saves Derek Carr and the Raiders this year.
Yeah, and we read earlier, before coming on, that the Browns are inquiring about the availability of Khalil Mack, which would be, fuck me, that would be an incredible pass rush they have there. The rumor is the Raiders are looking for two first rounders. Whether they get that, like you said, is another story.
Yep.
We mentioned John Gruden and Jordy Nelson as being some of the key additions. I wouldn't say he's a key addition, but he's a well-known in DRC cornerback. Maybe he'll be playing.
But see, that's bad that you have to list DRC as one of their top three additions.
Exactly, yeah. Losses.
It's also bad you have to list a coach as one of the top three additions.
Well, you know, when you sign a big deal like that, you got to list them. Michael Crabtree, he's gone to the Ravens. Marshall Newhouse, right tackle, he's with the Bills now. And Sean Smith, their cornerback, he is still a free agent. So that's the Raiders. We'll wrap it up with the Denver Broncos, which will finish our AFC West and AFC Conference preview for 2018. They went 5-11 last year. They're plus 300 with Vegas. Key additions, Case Keenum at quarterback. They drafted Bradley Chubb with the 5th overall pick from North Carolina State.
Is there a pairing in football you're more excited to see?
It's going to be
with Von Miller.
It's going to be incredible to watch the two of them.
I just
want to
see them like both have the exact same high five, like just that idea. Like they just don't even look and they just be like.
I wouldn't want to be an offensive lineman in the AFC West this year.
I wouldn't want to be a quarterback in the AFC West
this
year.
That's true, yeah. And I'll just give some punter love, Marquette King, because being at that high altitude, punting the ball,
he might get some serious
fucking hang time on those balls. Key losses, Aqib Talib has gone to the Rams now. CJ Anderson looks like he's going to be the backup running back
for the Panthers.
And Cody Latimer actually has started to look good for my Giants. It looks like he's going to lock down that third wide receiver spot.
It's weird though, because like all the people you just said, like it seems like they actually found good guys to fill their spots.
Yeah.
So like Cortland Sutton for wideout looks
from SMU.
Really
good.
Like how he fell to them was just a great like kind of fit as it happened there. Royce Freeman looks like a phenomenal
gem.
And as a result, like, you know, you're sitting in here and like, this is a talented team. We know this is. There's like the D-line is arguably one of the top three in all of football. They have a really good receiver core when you just say the names. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, and you list off all the other ones you want from there. It just begs the question of, will the quarterback play be good enough? Mm. And that's like it's the big Case Keenum question in the room here, right? Which is, do you believe in it or not? My personal take is I think he will be above like league average, if not slightly better. Like a worse version of than last year, but better than what we'd expect in that sense from like quote unquote Case Keenum.
I would agree. I think he's gonna not be as good as his 2017 year.
Which I mean like you know, huge shock. We're saying you won't replicate your best year of your career.
Yeah, exactly. And Broncos looking to avoid first back-to-back losing season since 1971 and 72.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So my take on this one, and this was the hardest one for me to predict.
Okay.
Just because I think that every team can vary here.
Yeah.
Number
one.
So number one for me is the Chargers.
Same with me.
Then I have the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Raiders.
Okay, considerably different to me then. I have Chargers number one. If they keep Khalil Mack, I got the Raiders number two. I got the Chiefs number three, and I got the Broncos number four.
So interesting.
Yeah, I guess just different takes on it. So why do you have... So explain real quick, we'll wrap it up. Explain why... I think I understand why you have the Chargers first, but then you're two, three, and four. Explain your rationale behind it.
The Chiefs are still a talented team, and I think they have enough pieces. The hard part there is just, I think the Raiders are going to be the division punching bag.
Okay.
And I know that's not a fun way to put it.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
Derek Carr has had serious injury concerns in multiple seasons already. They don't have any answer for if he's not there. And it just comes down to the idea that I think that you need the perfect storm for that team to look really good, where you need the defense to be firing on all cylinders. Khalil Mack is getting 20, 25 sacks for a season.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous kinds of numbers. And I just don't see those things happening. I don't even know if Khalil Mack is on the team.
Mm, yeah, that is my ranking of them number two was very dependent on
that. Totally fair. But it's just, like, to that point, like, it makes you concerned about what does that team look like, where I have no idea what their offense should even look like right now. Like, we're saying Amari Cooper is the number one wide receiver, and he's inconsistent as hell. To a point where, like, I just don't know. Like, for half the year last year, Michael Crabtree was the better option.
Yep.
In all of fantasy, we were doing DraftKings.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
True.
Because Crabtree shouldn't be this foundational player.
I mean, I say it's important that they have Mac. It's not just important for him personally, but I think it sends a message to the rest of the team. It's like, okay, we locked up our linchpin on defense.
No,
and
exactly.
We're committing to building that defense around him. If you let him walk for whatever picks you get in return, I think it sends an awful message to the team.
It does.
They're just let him walk.
Well, you know? And it's hard, though, because, like, you look at this, and, like, basically, like, the Patriots and the Packers are the only two teams who haven't done this, of the idea of we're going to sign our quarterback and our, you know, linebacker, DN, whoever that heart and soul of that, like, defense is. A lot of other main teams have those guys who, like, they've historically locked up for a while.
Yeah.
And it raises the question right now of maybe, you know, should they? I don't know. That's a debate for a different part there. But, like, you know, I think the hard part there is, like, you have to commit to say this is the team we want for the next 5 years with these guys if you're going to do that. And I just don't know if they're convinced of that, which is probably why it's harder to pay the guy.
Yep. Be interesting to see now that Aaron Donald signed his contract. Does that kind of shift things along a little bit for the Khalil Mack contract talks? We might find out over the next few days.
I mean, so just like any other classic contract dispute, he's either going to be paid or traded. We're going to have some answer within the next 4 or 5 days. It's absolutely the beauty of the league is that all these things get settled before week one.
True. That will do it for our AFC West and just AFC in general. Barry, thanks very much for coming on. Fantastic chatting.
Always a pleasure.
And we will leave it at that for episode 41 of Paddy Pigskin. Another one, maybe 1.5 announcements coming up on the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to a lesser extent. And keep supporting us wherever you're listening to us, all the apps, Spotify, iTunes, Podomatic. And keep leaving those reviews. We're actually getting a few more reviews there during the week. Very good feedback. We appreciate the support. So tune in next time to Paddy Pigskin, where, as always, you will have, and we will have, less slant and more slauncha. Take care. Remember the name. They rubbing boys with the chain. Woo. I got go yard by the sack. Woo. I got the boot by the pack. Woo. I fucked your boo in the back. Gang, gang. Them boys not flexing the same. I'm done with adjusting the pain. Pull up on your set, leave it stain. Gang, gang. I tell them come fuck with the gang. I tell them don't fuck with the gang. It's time to fuck up the whole gang. Gang, 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 gang. They tryna front on the game. They gon' remember my name. Gang. Gang. They tryna front on the game. Gang. ASAP boys came with the flame. True to truth, time.